Katha Upanishad, Introduction. The Katha Upanishad is a late work, though its origins are unclear. Perhaps composed even as late as 500 BCE. It relates the story of Nachiketas, the son of Vajashrava. He encounters Yama, death, who gives the boy three wishes. This results in a discussion on life, the self, Atman, and what happens after death. Yama addresses Nachiketas, sometimes by another family name, Gautama. There are two chapters. Katha Upanishad, Chapter 1. Vajashravasa, desirous of heavenly rewards, surrendered all that he possessed at a sacrifice. He had a son of the name of Nachiketas. When the promised presents were being given to the priests, faith entered into the heart of Nachiketas, his son, who was still a boy, and he thought, "Unblessed, surely, are the worlds to which a man goes by giving, as his promised present at a sacrifice, cows which have drunk water, eaten hay, given their milk, and are barren." He, knowing that his father had promised to give up all that he possessed, and therefore his son also, said to his father, "Dear father, to whom wilt thou give me?" He said it a second and a third time. Then the father replied angrily, "I shall give thee unto Yama, death." The father, having said so, though in haste, had to be true to his word and to sacrifice his son. The son said, "I go as the first, at the head of many who have still to die. I go in the midst of many who are now dying. What will be the work of Yama, the ruler of the departed, which today he has to do unto me?"
"Look back how it was with those who came before. Look forward how it will be with those who come hereafter. A mortal ripens like corn. Like corn, he springs up again."
Nachiketas enters into the abode of Yama Vaivasvata, and there was no one there to receive him. Thereupon, one of the attendants of Yama is supposed to say,
"Fire enters into the houses when a Brahmana enters as a guest. That fire is quenched by this peace offering. Bring water, O Vaivasvata." A Brahmana that dwells in the house of a foolish man without receiving food to eat destroys this man's hopes and expectations, his possessions, his righteousness, his sacred and his good deeds, and all his sons and cattle.
Yama, returning to his house after an absence of 3 nights, during which time Nachiketas had received no hospitality in his house, says,
"O Brahmana, as thou, a venerable guest, hast dwelt in my house 3 nights without eating, therefore, choose now 3 boons. Hail to thee, and welfare to me."
Nachiketas said, "O death, as the first of the 3 boons, I choose that Gautama, my father, be made calm, kind, and free from anger towards me, and that he may know me and greet me when I shall have been dismissed by thee."
Yama said, "Through my favor, Audalaki Aruni, thy father, will know thee and be again towards thee as he was before. He shall sleep peacefully through the night and be free from anger after having seen thee freed from the mouth of death."
Nachiketas said, "In the heavenly world there is no fear. Thou art not there, O death, and no one is afraid on account of old age. Leaving behind both hunger and thirst, and out of the reach of sorrow, all rejoice in the world of heaven. Thou knowest, O death, the fire sacrifice which leads us to heaven. Tell it to me, for I am full of faith. Those who live in the heavenly world reach immortality. This I ask as my second boon.
Yama said, I will tell thee. Learn it from me. And when thou understandest that fire sacrifice which leads to heaven, know, O Nachiketas, that it is the attainment of the endless worlds and their firm support, hidden in darkness.
Yama then told him about that fire sacrifice, the beginning of all the worlds, and what bricks are required for the altar, and how many, and how they are to be placed. And Nachiketas repeated all as it had been told to him.
Then Death, being pleased with him, said again, I give thee now another boon. That fire sacrifice shall be named after thee. Take also this many-colored chain.
Footnote. Probably a chain signifying many paths to glory. End of footnote.
He who has three times performed this Nachiketa rite and has been united with the three, father, mother, and teacher, and has performed the three duties, study, sacrifice, almsgiving, overcomes the cycle of birth and death. When he has learned and understood this fire, which knows and makes us know all that is born of Brahman, which is venerable and divine, then he obtains everlasting peace. He who knows the three Nachiketa fires, and knowing the three, piles up the Nachiketa sacrifice, he, having first thrown off the chain of death, rejoices in the world of heaven beyond the reach of grief. This, O Nachiketas, is thy fire which leads to heaven, and which thou hast chosen as thy second boon. That fire all men will proclaim. Choose now, O Nachiketas, thy third boon.
Nachiketas said, there is that doubt when a man is dead, some saying he is, others he is not. This I should like to know, taught by thee. This is the third of my boons.
Death said, on this point, even the divines of olden times have had doubts. It is not easy to understand. That subject is too subtle. Choose another boon, O Nachiketas. Do not press me, and let me off that boon.
Nachiketas said, on this point even the divines have doubted indeed, and thou, Death, hast declared it to be not easy to understand, and another teacher like thee is not to be found. Surely no other boon is like unto this.
Death said, choose sons and grandsons who shall live 100 years, herds of cattle, elephants, gold, and horses. Choose the wide abode of the earth and live thyself for as many harvests as thou desirest. If you can think of any boon equal to that, choose that. Choose wealth and long life. Be a king, Nachiketas, on the wide earth. I make thee the enjoyer of all desires. Whatever desires are difficult to attain among mortals, ask for them according to thy wish. These fair maidens with their chariots and musical instruments, such as are indeed not to be obtained by men, be waited on by them whom I give to thee. But do not ask me about dying.
Nachiketa said, these things last till tomorrow, O Death, for they wear out this vigor of all the senses. Even the whole of life is short. Keep thou thy horses. Keep dance and song for thyself. No man can be made happy by wealth. Shall we possess wealth when we see thee? Shall we live as long as thou rulest? Only that boon which I have chosen is to be chosen by me. What mortal, slowly decaying here below, after having a glimpse of immortality and freedom from decay enjoyed by the immortals, cherishes a long life
after he has pondered on the pleasures which arise from beauty and love? No, that on which there is this doubt, O death, tell me what there is in that great hereafter. Nachiketas does not choose another boon, but that which enters into the hidden world.
Death said, "The good is one thing, the pleasant another. These two, having different objects, chain a man. It is well with him who clings to the good. He who chooses the pleasant misses his end. The good and the pleasant approach man. The wise goes round about them and distinguishes them. Yea, the wise prefers the good to the pleasant, but the fool chooses the pleasant through greed and avarice. Thou, O Nachiketas, after pondering all pleasures that are or seem delightful, hast dismissed them all. Thou hast not gone on to the road that leadeth to wealth, in which many men perish. Wide apart and leading to different points are these two, ignorance and wisdom. I believe Nachiketas to be one who desires knowledge, for even many pleasures did not tear thee away. Fools, dwelling in darkness, fancying themselves in their own conceit to be wise and learned and puffed up with vain knowledge, go round and round, staggering to and fro, like blind men led by the blind. The hereafter never rises before the eyes of the non-discerning, fooled as he is by the delusion of wealth. This is the world, he thinks, there is no other. Thus he falls again and again under my death's sway. He, the Supreme Self, of whom many are not even able to hear, and whom many, even when they hear of him, do not comprehend. Wonderful is a man, when found, who is able to teach of him, the Supreme Self. Wonderful is he who comprehends him, when taught by an able teacher. That Supreme Self, when taught by an inferior man, is not easy to know, even though often thought upon. Unless it be taught by another, there is no way to it, for it is inconceivably subtler than the subtle. That knowledge is not to be obtained by argument. But when it is taught by another, then, O dearest, it is easy to understand. Thou hast obtained it now. Thou art truly a man of true resolve. May we have always an inquirer like thee."
Nachiketas said, "I know that what is called a treasure is transient, for the eternal is not obtained by things which are not eternal. Hence, the Nachiketa fire sacrifice has been laid by me first. Then, by means of transient things, I have obtained what is not transient, the teaching of Yama."
Yama said, "Though thou hadst seen the fulfillment of all desires, the foundation of the world, the endless rewards of good works, the shore where there is no fear, the greatness of fame, the wide restful abode, yet being wise, thou hast with firm resolve dismissed it all. The wise who, by means of meditation on his Supreme Self, recognizes the primal, who is difficult to be seen, who has entered into the dark, who is hidden in the cave of the heart, who dwells in the abyss, he indeed leaves joy and sorrow far behind. A mortal who has heard this and embraced it, who has separated from it all qualities and has thus reached the subtle being, rejoices, because he has obtained what is a cause for rejoicing. The house of Brahman is open. Believe, O Nachiketas."
Nachiketas said, "That which thou seest as neither this nor that, as neither effect nor cause, as neither past nor future. Tell me that.
Yama said,
That word or goal which all the Vedas speak of, which all penances proclaim, which men desire when they live as religious students, that word I tell thee briefly, it is Om. That imperishable syllable means Brahman. That syllable means the highest Brahman. He who knows that syllable, whatever he desires, is his. This is the best support. This is the highest support. He who knows that support is magnified in the world of Brahma. The knowing self is not born. It dies not. It sprang from nothing. Nothing sprang from it. The primal is unborn, eternal, everlasting. He is not killed, though the body is killed. If the killer thinks that he kills, if the killed thinks that he is killed, they do not understand. But this one does not kill, nor is that one killed. The Supreme Self, smaller than small, greater than great, is hidden in the heart of every being. A man who is free from desires and free from grief sees the majesty of the Supreme Self by the grace of the Supreme Self. Though sitting still, he walks far. Though lying down, he moves everywhere. Who, save myself, is able to know that highest being who rejoices and rejoices not? The wise who knows the Supreme Self as bodiless within the bodies, as unchanging in changing things, as great and all-pervading, does never grieve. The self cannot be gained by the Veda, nor by understanding, nor by much learning. He whom the Supreme Self chooses, by him the Supreme Self can be gained. The Supreme Self chooses him, his body, as his own. But he who has not first turned away from his wickedness, who is not serene and subdued, or whose mind is not at rest, he can never obtain the Supreme Self even by knowledge. Who then knows where he is? He for whom the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are, as it were, but food, and death itself a condiment. Footnote. The two top strata of the ancient society, but here signifying all living beings. End of footnote. Yama continued, There are the two, the self, Atman, and the ego, Jiva, drinking their reward in the world of their own works, seated into the cave of the heart, dwelling on the highest summit, the space in the heart. Those who know Brahman call them light and shade. And so do those householders who perform the fivefold fire sacrifice. May we be able to master that Nachiketa rite, which is a bridge for sacrificers. Also that which is the highest, imperishable Brahman for those who wish to cross over to the shore of fearlessness. Know the self as one sitting in the chariot, the body as the chariot, the intellect as the charioteer, and the mind as reins. The senses, they say, are the horses. The objects of the senses, their path. When he, the highest self, is in union with the body, the senses, and the mind, then wise people call him the enjoyer. He who has no understanding, and whose mind, the rein, is never firmly held, his senses, horses, are unmanageable, like vicious horses of a charioteer. But he who has understanding and whose mind is always firmly held, his senses are under control, like good horses of a charioteer. He who has no understanding, who is unmindful and always impure,
never reaches that place, but enters into the round of births.
But he who has understanding, who is mindful and always pure, reaches indeed that place, from whence he is not born again.
But he who makes understanding his charioteer, and who holds the reins of the mind, he reaches the end of his journey, and that is the highest place, the all-pervading self.
Beyond the senses, there are the objects. Beyond the objects, there is the mind. Beyond the mind, there is the intellect. The great self is beyond the intellect.
Beyond the great self, there is the unmanifest.
Beyond the unmanifest, there is the Purusha, person, the spirit.
Beyond the spirit, there is nothing. That is the goal, end of the journey.
The self is hidden in all beings and does not shine forth, but it is seen by subtle seers through their sharp and subtle intellect.
A wise man should keep down speech and mind. He should keep them within the self, which is knowledge.
He should keep knowledge within the self, which is the great.
And he should keep that, the great, within the self, which is the quiet.
Rise, awake. Having obtained your boons, understand them. The sharp edge of a razor is difficult to pass over. Thus the wise say, the path to the Supreme Self is hard.
He who has perceived that which is without sound, without touch, without form, without decay, without taste, without smell, eternal, without beginning, without end, beyond the great and is unchangeable, he is freed from the jaws of death.